Take five.
Well, hello and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I'm joining you as always from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Mm. And joining me for the first time from Euroa, Victoria, Australia, is Scott Gorse. Scott, how are you?
Second, we've done one of these before in
Euroa. Second time.
Sloppy beginning, Daniel.
You're back in Euroa living again, Scott, I believe.
I've been living the whole time, but yes, I am back in Euroa.
Fantastic, fantastic. Must be good to be back in that little metropolis.
It's good. It's good.
But Scott, first of all, before we throw to the first story, I'd like to apologise to our listener, Nathan, for not recording this podcast for the last 8 months. There's been a lot of shit go down for both Scott and I, and it's our humble apologies to you, Nathan, and I hope that you take our apologies on board and you accept them. And you decide to tune in again every week.
I'd like to reiterate that apology to our listener, Nathan. I'm very sorry.
I hope it's going good for you over there in WA, brother. I really do. Anyway, Scott, during our hiatus, I was...
I'd love a penny for your thoughts, of course.
Yes, yes. I was very fortunate enough to co-host an episode of I Love a Penny for Your Thoughts, which, of course, is a politically themed chat show that I did as an interim measure between Simpleton Podcasts.
I was
filling in for Kerry O'Brien, who was on holiday in Spain at the time.
Yeah.
But, Scott, that's just an aside.
Yeah.
You are an investigative journalist of the highest order.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't actually work as an investigative journalist anymore, but
you
are actually, you're a man of passion. Mm. You're a man of inquisitiveness.
Okay. Let's go with that.
And, you know, once you've got the investigative journalism bug, it just doesn't go away, does it? What have you uncovered?
Yeah, 11:28. I just looked at the computer screen, Daniel.
I know it's late.
Can
we just get it right this time?
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get it right. That's awful. So, what have I uncovered? I believe that's where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
The big one.
Hmm.
I'm going to talk.
You're talking about the Pokies proposal for the middle pub in Euroa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knocked on the head, Daniel.
The proposal to introduce 845 poker machines into the back room of the middle hotel in Euroa has been scuttled.
Scuttled.
Am I right?
Nice verb, yes.
Scuttle and it's sunk to the bottom of the Seven Creeks where some say it belongs.
Yeah, under 4.5 feet of murky water. That's right. Yeah, but you're right about
that. I'd like to see James Cameron come along and send a submarine to the bottom of that wreck. But anyway, Scott.
But anyway, wow. Yeah.
This issue has really, you know, put a wedgie right in the middle of Euroa society.
Yeah. It was, I'll tell you what, it's a lightning rod. It was that divisive, Daniel. There were demonstrations, there was an orgy of grassroots activism.
An explosion.
Apparently there was a bit of a blew out the front of Burton's one time between a couple of old codgers. This is the one that
I heard about that incident too, and I heard that some of the words were actually quite heated.
Yeah, that's to put it lightly. This put a line straight down the middle of Euroa society, Daniel.
A massive wedgie.
Yeah, you could say that. And listen, just looking over the running sheet and still getting a couple of things straight because we shifted from past to present. Pretty much, yeah, okay.
Well, were you actually talking about the past, Scott, because the whole issue was done and dusted.
Yeah, well, Scott Dixon, the local GP, he was really the Peter Laylaw of the endeavours to scuttle this thing, as you put it yourself, and he's now being lauded as a hero. What he did was he really confronted the Strathbergish Shire. They put out their findings that, shall I run some of them off?
Might as well.
Poker machines would what's the word they use, inject $46.5 million into the local economy per year. That's on the one hand. They would provide over 2,000 full-time jobs. Yes. That's another one.
Yeah. And I find the latter difficult to believe. You and I both know that the Euroa Middle Hotel is not the largest venue in Euroa, really.
No, it's not. It's not.
Let alone anywhere else. But look, continue. What else did you find, Scott?
Yeah, and the third point was that it would enable the enterprise to lower beer prices. What Dixon did was release a counter finding and...
Sorry, I'm trying to sound interested. Continue.
And in that counter finding, what he came up with was the following. I'm just raising my thumb now because it's dot point one. He suggested that venereal disease would increase by over 48.7%. I'm putting up my second finger now, second dot point. He deduced that the installation of these pookies would quadruple.
Scott, can I just ask you to mind your P's?
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. Pepping into the microphone. Thank you.
Would quadruple?
Yeah, I'm here.
Would quadruple the amount of homicides, annual homicides, that occur in Euroa?
And 2, 4.
My third finger's up now, and this signifies my third dot point. He concluded that, that such would be the impact on the poultry and livestock-based economy of Euroa, that Maipol within 6 years would become the dominant regional economic force.
Yeah, that would be an absolute travesty.
Would be an absolute travesty. Listen, the trouble came to a crescendo when Mayor Stephen Jeffrey called a referendum on the issue back in when?
I believe it was March.
The referendum was, of course, knocked on the head following the decision to cancel the pokies. But it was seen as much as a referendum on Mayor Jeffrey and his provisional governing junta as it was on the poker machines. So now we're in a state of limbo, I suppose you could say, Daniel.
Tensions are still very rife and high, Scott. There are a number of key points that I think we need to touch upon here. Scott, can you run us through them?
Here are my key points. Accusations that the mayor of the Delatire Shire Council, his name eludes me.
Michael Hatzipavlidis, Scott.
him, that's right. Had incited and fomented civil unrest in Strathbogie, which led up to that Shire's democratically elected council being overthrown. And it's a bad printout on my running sheet. I can't see the next two lines, Daniel.
And replaced by the Jeffrey Lynch junta in the coup d'etat.
Yeah, and the next line says...
The Shire of... This is fucking great podcasting. The Shire of Murrindindi concerned about the overthrow of its ally...
Now that they've got some clear lines. And the installment of a pro-Dalitite junta reacted in an equally heavy-handed fashion, sending its two bylaws officers into Longwood and effectively annexing that province. Since then, the Jeffrey-led junta has been under intense pressure... Sorry, some more, another poor line.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Read the next line.
Since the Jeffrey-led junta has been under intense pressure, seen as an illegitimate Dalitite puppet by the Shire of Murrindindi.
Gotcha, and the next line's clear. But as a legitimate provisional leader by the Dalitite Shire. To cut a long story short, Jeffrey has staked his leadership on his, and the next line hasn't printed out properly.
And he's pushed to install the poker machines. For fuck's sake.
Of course, there are many concerns about the legitimacy and... Sorry, the next line hasn't printed.
And fairness of the upcoming referendum, which has already been held, with both sides suspicious that the other will try to rig the vote through their proxies.
Yeah, that last line was clear. So I'm going to chuck that page away. This page is looking... pretty swell.
Okay, well, Scott, can I suggest that we throw to a soundbite of a Jeffrey spokesperson known only as the Colonel, who spoke about the poker machines and what they would bring to the town?
Yeah. Okay, let's throw to the Colonel.
Sir Grand Leader. He's a Sir Grand Leader, Hamlia. I believe trouble over the poker machination is, you'll see, as a Grand Leader, he believe it's a foreign plot to destabilization of local Shire government.
Well, there you have it, Scott.
The accent, yeah.
Well, from what part of Strathbaker Shire was he from? The Colonel?
I reckon the Deep South. Sounds like he's from the Deep South there, and perhaps even
as far, perhaps as far south as Ngambi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right out there.
G'day, this is Scotty Cam, and you're listening to the Simpleton Podcast.
Yeah, Scott, that's not the only big issue that's been confronting Euroa and its residents over the past 6 months.
The road.
Yeah. Creek Drive, that's right,
Creek Drive.
During our hiatus, Scott, the BBC were in town, the Bataginni broadcaster.
And they did a
The Prime Minister had simply dreamt the whole affair, and all the forced sex change operations were a costly, embarrassing, and possibly illegal mistake. Sport now, and we cross to my poll correspondent, Glenn Mullock, who has the latest on the car bombing.
Thanks, Decad. Yes, the dust is settling here in my poll, and new details are emerging regarding the devastating blast. Earlier reports of over 200 dead have thankfully proven to be an enthusiastic exaggeration.
So what do the new figures look like, Len?
The current official casualty count stands at approximately zero injured and even less dead. In fact, due to the very sparsely populated nature of Maipole, only three people noticed the blast. It took over 6 hours before first responders from Violettown CFA could reach the grisly scene and render assistance.
Did they recover any survivors, Glenn?
A nearby horse was reported to be prancing around in that gay fashion they do when they get excited or agitated. Tail sticking out at a weird angle, doing a weird trot with unnecessarily high steps, that kind of thing. The CFA were unable to soothe the stupid beast and seemed to provoke it into an even worse frenzy. In addition, one CFA rookie got his balls caught climbing through a barbed wire fence and had to be airlifted to the Royal Melbourne Hospital. He is not expected to live.
Christ, Glenn, what a mess.
A fucking mess, Dickhead.
Has anyone claimed responsibility for this carnage?
Yes. Less than an hour ago, a group calling itself ISISAM, or the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and Maipole, uploaded a chilling video to YouTube. The beginning of the video features several masked men taking claim for the horrendous blast. The next 55 minutes of the video primarily consist of the men making extensive, yet unsubstantiated, claims about the homosexual proclivities of the Euroa Under-16s cricket club.
Okay, Glenn, thanks for your hard work. Stay safe out there.
Thanks, Decad. Will do.
And now to weather with Bill Crapp.
Wow.
Hard-hitting stuff there, Scotty.
HHS.
Hard-hitting. Yes, hard-hitting stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to work out what the acronym was that you were pronouncing there. Yeah. That's good. Yes, very good.
Yeah. Wow.
Scott. Well, I mean, I think it's much more to say that.
Could you just... sorry, I wasn't listening to that. Currently, Ghost Adventures is on. Ghost Adventures is running.
Why don't they just turn the light on?
No, that's all right. Could you paraphrase? I wasn't listening to that report. Could you paraphrase it? What was it about?
Yeah, it was about the troubles confronting the people of Creek Drive.
That again. Sorry.
Yeah.
So disorganized.
Scott, I believe you have a shout out.
I do have a shout out. Print is on my printout is rather patchy, but what I'm going to. Sorry, I can't even see the first. See the first line. What's on
this
the first line?
This is fucking useless.
What's on the first line? Let's be professional.
Do you want me to give the shout out, Scott?
You do the shout out.
All right, I don't know what your shout out was about, but this is my shout out.
Okay.
And my shout out goes out to the Moorabool Mongies. They've gone to Colac on a premature end of season trip after their club was kicked out of the local football league for tax evasion and ticket scalping. Great work, guys. The boys plan to do a sightseeing tour of the Otways as well as a 3-day stint at a local detox centre and some workshops in order to clean up the club's image before they embark on the looming pre-season campaign. So to Fitzy, Holmesy and the boys, I'd like to say a big shout-out or give a big shout-out to the Moorabool Mongies. Take it easy, boys.
Good on you, boys.
And don't do anything that Scott and I wouldn't do.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Wow.
Wow.
Big saying,
I'd just like to throw out an individual shout-out to – throw out a shout-out. Daniel, to – listen, a fan of ours. I was travelling recently in Canada, Quebec, actually. I went there to see the wombat colony. And listen, I was recognised. It doesn't happen that often. I was recognised by a fan. He heard me talking. And I'm going to give him a bit of a shout out now. So, Cosmos, I wish you, all the best, all the family as well. Cosmos,
is that true? I mean, is the whole thing true?
It's true. Cosmos Valiant. He was on holiday from, I believe it was Trinidad. So good on you, Cosmos.
And I just want to give a quick shout out to Pritchard Tyson. Who knows who he is, knows what he has done, and I'll forever be in your debt, Pritchard.
Good on you. Good on you, Pritchard. Daniel, before we proceed, this is poor. It's poor. But
it's fucking shit.
But yeah, it is. But listen, is Indiana Jones still legendary?
No, not after the fourth movie.
Oh. Okay, so this could be worse than I thought then. I was hoping you'd say yes. But all right. What have we got now?
We've got the listeners' letters, Scott.
The listeners' letters. Give us a little spiel about the listeners.
Dear listeners, we once again apologise, Nathan, for being away for such a long time. But life happens when you're busy making other plans, as John Lennon once wrote.
Mm.
While we're talking about writing, see what I did there, Scott? Segue.
Wow.
While we talk about writing.
I'll give you a juice there. That was not bad. Not bad.
I'm tempted to do this whole episode again, Scott.
I'm not. It's 11:43. You'll do some cutting and snipping and...
I can't... The production team can't work fucking miracles. Anyway, if you want to drop us a line, please send it to contact@thesimpleton.com.au. And please remember to leave a reply forwarding address and a self-stamped envelope. So we can get back to you. Scott, I believe you have the first letter.
I do have the first letter, and I'm afraid I cannot see the lines on the running sheet. I need to put some new ink in. Can you read the first letter, thanks?
The first letter is from a Melton west of Adelaide Hills, South Australia. And Melton writes, as a rate player, it seems we're getting less bang and more buck. Canberra should hang its head in shame. Not good enough, Mr. Brax. Not good enough. Thank you, Mr. West.
What a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Can you?
Not sure where he's coming from there.
I'm not sure either. I can't see letter two, but I can do letter three. Can you do letter two?
Sure. I'll cover up your incompetence.
Two, Scott. Two, two. Letter two.
Letter two comes from a Mr. Bronson Malibu of Barbados. In the West Indies. And Mr. Malibu writes, great.
That's really good.
Thank you, Bronson.
That's fresh.
Thank you.
That's fresh, yeah. Bronson.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Scott, you have the third letter.
I do indeed. This one comes from Mr. Peptide Boost from the inner northern suburbs of Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And Peptide writes, let's see them kick us out this year. Exclamation mark. Thank you, Peptide.
If I could just ask listeners when they write in to be a little bit more specific.
Mm.
And if there's actually something you want of us or a message you want to send, please make it a little bit specific, because these last three letters have been, well, quite general, haven't they, Scott?
They've been very general, Daniel. And without further ado, I suggest we through to our new segment, Fascinating Plurals.
Okay. I'm interested. Scott?
Don't act all coy and surprised, Daniel.
This is your segment.
Let's go on. Listeners, the idea is every week we're going to have a little quiz about an unusual plural. As we know, there are some unusual plurals out there when it comes to describing groups. You have a murder of crows, Daniel. What's the word for cockatoos?
Fucked if I know.
A parliament of cockatoos. And what I am now going to ask you, Daniel, is what is the plural for larvae?
The plural for larvae. I believe that is a Strathbogie bus full of larvae, Scott.
Desperate guess. Daniel, time's up. Incorrect answer. No, my friend, the answer is a conglomerate. So next time you spot a whole bunch of larvae, you can rightfully tell your friends that you...
I think the production team might cut this segment out, Scott.
Well, they better now, because it would be highly embarrassing if they didn't, given that you said it's going to happen.
Scott, is there anything in the week ahead that Nathan should be aware of?
Yep, I... My tip is Germany.
Yep. That's a very insightful tip, Scott. I'd like people to keep an eye out for the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games. I hear it's going to be spectacular. Scott, it's been great conversing with you again. The 8 month wait has been well and truly worth it. I'm sure that Nathan would agree.
I'm sure he would.
Anyway, I'll chum until this time next week. God bless and good night.
Good night. Good night, Nathan.